Every believer has a different amount of time in which they can serve Christ. In terms of eternal rewards, how is it fair that we all have a different amount of time in which to earn them? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. You've chosen to listen on a wonderful day because we are in our first week of a great series about the parables of Jesus. And today we're going to look at the parable that we sometimes call the day laborers in the vineyard. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this really interesting and often misunderstood parable. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're going through a series on the parables of Jesus. I think part of what makes the Lord's teaching so memorable and so fresh, generation after generation after generation, is he taught in these very colorful ways, in an imaginative way, in stories that people could easily remember and think about, but stories that had a deeper meaning than what maybe most people realize. So one of the parables Jesus told was this parable of the day laborers, or some translations might say the parable of the workers in the vineyard.
Right.
The Lord often taught about eternal rewards, and the New Testament often teaches about this doctrine of eternal rewards.
Right.
And the doctrine of eternal rewards is, even though salvation is free, it's a gift on the basis of faith, there is a place for works in the Christian life, and God gives eternal rewards based on works. He doesn't give eternal life based on works, but he gives eternal rewards based on works. And it seems like in other passages in the New Testament, there's a possibility that some people are going to be richly rewarded and some people will not be rewarded at all.
Well, we have that, for example, in the parable of the minas, or it's also called the parable of pounds in Luke 19, 11 through 27. One, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful to have authority over 10 cities. Second one, you also have authority over 5 cities. So you got 10, 5. Third servant, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. And so this guy doesn't get to rule at all. And you also have Paul saying, if we endure, we'll reign with him.
Right.
And if we deny him, he'll deny us. So the privilege of ruling with Christ requires we persevere to the end. So yes, there are texts that clearly teach that. And this parable with the day laborers, or the vineyard workers, it's one that sometimes is understood to refer to life, or we might say the graciousness of God in giving life to people. However, a lot of commentators see this as referring to rewards, because it's obviously a pay situation,
right?
And everlasting life is not pay for work done.
In fact, some people take this parable as the anti-rewards parable.
Right.
And they think that this somehow teaches that there are no rewards per se. Everyone's going to be the same in heaven.
Right. Once I heard Dr. Craig Blomberg give a talk in which he argued there would not be degrees of reward in the kingdom. And one of the passages he used to show that was this passage. And he suggested, since all these people receive the same reward, whether they work 12 hours or 3 hours or 1 hour, he said this suggests that everyone will have the same reward forever and there will be no degrees of reward. So some people see this as showing how gracious God is, that no matter how much or how little we work, we're still going to be equally rewarded.
Well, let's go to the parable. And it's in chapter 20, but I actually want to read just a couple of verses from chapter 19, the verses immediately prior to this. Peter basically comes to Jesus in verse 27, 19:27. Peter says, "See, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So that sounds like a reward.
Right.
"And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and last first." It seems like paradoxical things. Definitely you're going to get a reward. You're going to receive 100-fold. But then also there's this idea that the people who are going to be last are going to be first, and the first are going to be last. Maybe the people who are first in the world are going to be last in the kingdom?
Yeah, I think what that part of it is saying is when the time of the judgment seat of Christ comes, which I think is what this is talking about, then many of the people who are first in the church age are going to be last in the kingdom. So there are pastors of mega churches who are believers, but who are not really serving Christ faithfully, they're serving themselves, they'll end up last in the kingdom even though they were first in this age.
Right.
And there are people who are last in the church age, like women, let's say, who are prayer warriors and they're widows and they're homebound and yet they share their faith. These people are not regarded highly. They're not authors. People don't know about them, but they may become great in the kingdom.
Right. They'll have like 20, 30 cities. They'll have lots of rulership.
And I think the point about the last first and the first last is there's going to be some great reversals.
Right. And so now Jesus, after saying that, he tells this parable. So he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Now, when the Lord's telling parables, he's often speaking about himself.
Right.
Is the landowner here Jesus?
I think so, yes.
So he goes to his vineyard, and the vineyard, I guess, is just a symbol of...
Well, often it's a symbol of Israel, but in light of the fact that we know the church is about to be born, the vineyard ultimately is also the church and the world.
Right. So he goes to hire laborers.
Right.
And so this isn't a salvation issue. He's hiring people.
Right. These are wages for work done.
Right. "Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard." So these are just like here in Denton, we have day laborers who wait at a certain spot, and people who need work around their house, they'll go over there, drive over there, agree to a price with the workers and bring them back to their house. And so this vineyard worker is doing the same thing. He's going out to look for workers.
Exactly. And I've driven by there before. And if you go early in the day, you can see many men, 20, 30, 40. But if you go later in the day, there may only be three or four, two or three, because it's late. And you got the same kind of situation here.
And he makes an agreement. They have a contract. A denarius a day. That's what I'm going to pay you.
And a denarius in that day was what a day laborer typically received. And by the way, my dad bought me a denarius back around, 1980, something like that. It cost him $25. And that was about what a denarius was worth in the first century in our terms, about $40, $50, something like that.
Interesting. Verse 3, "And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'Will you also go into the vineyard? And whatever is right, I will give to you.' So they went." He agrees to give them whatever is right. So it's not like a fixed price. There was no agreement as to how much he was going to.
The first people, fixed price. Yeah. All the rest, no.
"I'm just going to do what's right. You're just going to trust me, and I'm going to pay you what's right for what you've done." Verse 5, "Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.'" So again, no contract for a specific amount. Just, "I'll hire you. I'm going to pay you right. So go work."
Right. Apparently. And the big surprise in this parable, we tend to think what he's going to do is, okay, the first group, they work 12 hours, they get a denarius.
Right.
So then all the rest are going to get fractional amounts. The one that works 9 hours is going to get 3/4 of a denarius.
You're going to get,
and so on.
Yeah, you're going to get like an hourly wage.
And the 1 hour guy is going to get like 1/12 of a denarius.
That's what you'd expect, right? Verse 8, "So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers, give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' So when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius."
And by the way, the word wages is misthos. This is the same word used throughout the New Testament for reward.
Yeah, very interesting. "But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'Wait a second, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day.'"
Wait a minute, I think you added the words, "wait a minute," there.
I might have added the words, "wait a minute." Okay. So that was Sean's paraphrase. Basically, the guys who came at the very end of the day just got paid the very same as the guys who were working since the early morning.
Right. He starts out with the 1 hour people, gives them a denarius. Then the 3 hour people gives them a denarius. The 6 hour people, denarius. The 9 hour people, denarius. When they come to him, he's like, "Why do all these other people who work varying amounts of time all get the same amount as we, and yet we worked all 12 hours, all through the heat of the day?"
Right, so that doesn't seem fair. "But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? I mean, I paid what the contract said.
Right.
So how am I wronging you? You agreed to work for this amount of money.
Right.
Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen." So basically he's saying, listen, I'm sovereign over this. I agreed to pay you a certain amount, and I did. But I'm also free to pay these guys whatever I want. This is my money.
It seems like it's not fair because you say, well, wait a minute, these other people didn't work as hard. But one of the things we often do is we read our own ideas into a parable.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to think the reason that these other people didn't work is because they were lazy. Although the parable itself says the 1 hour people were there because nobody hired them.
Right.
Sounds like they were there all day waiting and nobody hired them. So that's not the issue. I think what's going on here is this looks at the issue of what happens to the believer who, through no fault of his own or her own, has a short life as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they come to faith at age 18 and they die at age 25. Well, they only get 7 years to serve the Lord.
Right.
That might be like the 3 hour person. Or maybe they come to faith when they're 18 and they die or raptured when they're 20.
Or they come to faith at 80 and die at 81.
Right. They're the 1 hour or less person, right?
Does that mean they're messed up for all eternity because they didn't have enough time to serve?
Of course, they would be with the Lord forever, but the idea some people have is they can't lay up much in the way of rewards.
Mm-hmm.
But the point here is, if you're faithful in the time God gives you, then you're going to be equally as rewarded as someone else who serves for a whole life. I remember when I was at seminary, I asked one of my professors, I said, you know, I left staff with Campus Crusade for Christ to come to seminary, and I'm not involved in full-time ministry. If the rapture occurs during my 4 years in seminary, am I going to miss out on eternal rewards because I wasn't serving? And the seminary professor's answer was no. Be faithful in the time you have. And if the rapture occurs while you're in seminary, the Lord will extrapolate out what you would have done. And he said, somebody's going to be in seminary when the rapture occurs, right? Well, this parable tells us that the Lord will reward us based on the time we had to serve him.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion about the servants in the vineyard. I know that this might come as a surprise to you because many people teach this parable in many different ways. But as we said, the parables are often misunderstood, which is why we're going through them in this series. Now, I want to encourage you to go deeper, to not leave it right there, but to dig. And a really great place to dig is on our website, faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources available for you that are designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. I hope that you'll take advantage of our magazine, for instance. It's a free subscription to get this full-color print magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, and it'll show up right in your mailbox. We also have teaching videos. You can subscribe to our podcast. We've got all kinds of free ebooks and blog posts. We've got lots of stuff that's ready to help you grow. I want to give a special shout out to those of you that are hearing us on WNVY in the Pensacola, Florida listening area. My guess is that you're either hearing us on 104.5 FM or 1070 AM. We're so glad that you've joined us. I mentioned your listening station because we hope to hear from you. Give us some feedback from Florida. You can reach out to us at our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. I'll tell you again, it's radio@faithalone.org. We hope to hear from you. Next time on the program, we're going to talk about the parable of the two sons, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.